Purple Friday Final on The Fan. Getting you ready for this week's game. Here's The Fan's Chris Hockey and Vikings radio analyst Pete Bursich.
Well, it is Friday evening at 6:30. That means it's time for Purple Friday Final, brought to you proudly by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. A strange week at Winter Park, I'm sure. I can't believe it's happening again. I can't believe it happened again, but we're opening up the show talking about another second half collapse by the Minnesota Vikings. On the phone right now, Pete Bursich, the color commentator for the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Can you explain to me, please, Pete, what happened again?
A lot of things going wrong at the wrong time. And you know, it's like you've lost three different games in a row, all in the same manner, but really all of them were completely different. And, you know, you'd say you're snake bit or make excuses, but the bottom line is that late in these games, they're just not making plays when they need to and moving the chains and keeping the offense on the field. And so there's, you know, it's been crazy. And, I mean, turnovers haven't been the issue. That's usually the issue that you have, but our offense just cannot stay on the field, I think. And that's the bottom line to me. If you talk about Adrian Peterson and giving him a chance to wear out a defense into the second half, we had Tampa Bay on the ropes by the end of the first half. We just let them off the hook, to use a Denny Green phrase. And unfortunately, they came back and did what they had to do. Just a few mistakes here and there, that's all it took. So, yeah, I mean, I know at halftime, Paul and I were looking at ourselves, and we didn't even want to say it. We're like, can it happen again? And it did, unfortunately.
You talk about the fact that we can't keep our offense on the field. We've had some terrible penalties at horrible times in all three losses in the second half. But I agree with you. I was sitting back here at the studio doing my job during the Vikings game as well, and at halftime just saying, well, we're whooping these guys. There's no way for it to happen again. They come out in the second half, and I don't know if you could feel it in the stadium, or maybe I was just perceiving it on my end, but it just seemed like a mental letdown by our team. Like, nothing I've ever experienced before. If you're a coach, how concerned are you right now by these three consecutive losses like this?
Well, obviously, as a coaching staff, they're very concerned. And I know that, you know, when I leave the stadium after a loss like that, that's why I'm glad I'm not coaching anymore, because those guys are the ones that are, you know, basically, let's face it, they're most affected by this, because if you're a good player, you'll find a team to play for. But in coaching, you're never guaranteed your next job. And for Leslie, this is his first shot as a head coach. And obviously, that's how you want to start your career, is by having a team or somehow getting a reputation that your team can't finish. I mean, it's just unacceptable. And so those guys, the coaches take it harder than anybody. And I know those guys are working as hard as they can to get this thing corrected. But it's a mentality, and you just hope it doesn't sink into the psyche of the players where they, when things do go wrong in these games, sit back and go, oh, here we go again. I mean, that's one of the reasons why teams like Detroit had struggled for so long, because when they did face adversity, they kind of just accepted it because, you know, they're the Lions. We're the Lions. This is what we do. I know our mentality back when I was playing in the late 90s, we expected to make the playoffs every year. And it was when things were going poorly, it was, all right, who's going to step up and make a play? You know, who's going to be the hero this week? And so those kind of things really, really sink into the players. And if it gets going too far, if it goes the wrong way, then you really start having issues. But, you know, for right now, I mean, I know that everybody in Winter Park is working as hard as they can to get this thing corrected. And sometimes you just need something to go your way once or twice, and you can cure it.
Why do you think Adrian Peterson got five carries in the second half?
Well, you know, I think it has a lot more to do with our offense just not being able to sustain drives. I think that's one part of it. I think another part of it is that we, when you can't move the chains, you can't just keep giving them the ball. And then number two, you start getting into these losses, yardage running situations, where in the first half, really almost every time that you hand the ball off, you're making positive yardage. You're looking at second and seven, second and six, And when you start getting either penalties or tackles for losses, that's an issue because now you're looking at second 11, second 12. Your call sheet as an offensive coordinator really shrinks in those down and distances. Other teams know you're either going to pass or draw or screen, and they can account for it, and they're ready for it. And, you know, it kind of goes downhill from there. And then you're facing third and longs, and then you start getting your third down percentages hitting the basement like we're doing. So, yeah, it's a chain reaction, and, you know, they just got to break it. They have to find a way. Someone's got to make a play, and that's when you need your big money guys to step up. That's when your Adrian Petersons, your Antoine Winfields, your Jared Allens, I mean, that's the time that those guys have to come up and be heroes. And, you know, as well as they have all played, it's just the reality of the situation is that they have to make one more play. They got to do one more thing to change the game right now. And the more negative people get, or at least the players get, the bigger those plays have to be. So,
any part of you, again, Pete Bursich on the phone, Purple Friday Final, recounting last week's third consecutive loss on an 0-3 Minnesota Vikings start to the 2011-2012 season, any part of you thinking Donovan McNabb isn't the guy for this team and maybe Christian Ponder needs a shot going into this week's game?
Not yet. I mean, you know, there's a lot, you know, you have a lot of issues at that position with productivity, no question about it. That's something that that needs to change and needs to change quickly. You know, I don't necessarily think that it's one of the easiest things to do is to just look at that position and say, you know, put somebody else in there. We need somebody new. And even when you say, well, if we're out of the playoffs or it's not going to happen, you know, let's see what we have in Ponder or something like that. It's tough because if you throw him in here in this situation, you may not really still know what you're getting. Even though he's getting snaps and getting the experience, his ability to take in a year as a backup is going to help him so much down the road. It's like the Dante Culpepper. I mean, I remember when Dante, first few plays that he got in under his belt in the preseason, I think he audibled a play like four or five times and one snap, back and forth, because he wasn't quite sure. And I remember the rest of us looking at each other going, my God, this guy's got a long way to go. But that year that he spent, you know, watching Brad Johnson and Randall Cunningham, I think really, you know, really helped him. I'm sorry, Brad Johnson, that is. But, you know, so my point is I don't think, I mean, it's an easy decision to make or an easy recommendation to make, but I don't necessarily think it's that black and white. I really, really don't. But the other side of that coin is, what does the locker room think? I'm not saying let the inmates run the asylum, but if the guys up front don't have faith in the guys in the back taking the snaps, then that can be an issue. And that's kind of the tightrope that the head coach has to walk, in that he's got to make decisions to win. Not every decision you're going to make is going to be popular in the locker room, but faith in the players next to you is a big thing. And if guys don't have faith in whoever's running the offense, if that's the case, and I'm saying hypothetically, then something has to be done.
One more thing about last week's game. We'll put that away, go to break, and come back and talk about this week's game, the first away game of the 2011 season. No, it's not true. Actually, I should say the next away game, I guess, at Kansas City on Sunday at noon start. Looking forward to talking about that because it appears to be a team we should be able to handle this week. But one more thing about last week. I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, Pete, the idea of the amount of penalties hurting us in the second half. Are we having problems with our conditioning, do you think?
No, not necessarily. I don't necessarily think that that conditioning is the big issue on that. I think that, you know, the fatigue and those kind of things, those factors, yeah, they do happen. They do factor in. But some of those penalties that we've had are just dumb, away from the ball. They're just not very, you know, the stupid things that guys have been doing. And, you know, the other thing too is that we're getting the wrong penalties at the wrong time. And when you're not an explosive offense, you really, really struggle to overcome a lot of those penalties. I mean, if you have an offense that can get 20, 30 yards a clip through the air, you can get by on a few thirds and third and tens and third and 15s. I remember back in 98, it could have been third. The difference between us on a percentage basis between third and four and third and 10 was very, very small, just because we had that kind of vertical offense and the ability to get down the field. And when your running back is your main weapon, you know, your consistency with getting those yardages go up, because if you're averaging 4 yards a carry, you know, you hand it off, you get your 4 yards, but you know, you're really limiting the explosion and how far and what you're expecting on a third down basis. So, it's a penalties are part of it, and again, that's the key with this offense, is you can't have lost yardage plays. I don't care if they're penalties or if they're tackles for losses, you just can't do it.
We've spent, both of us, the entire week trying to understand what happened the last 3 weeks. I'm sick of it. I'm ready to talk about next week. With a Vikings Fan Vision controller in your hands, you can pull up instant replays, multiple camera angles, highlight reels, stats, and more anywhere at the stadium. And you can learn more about it at fanvision.com/Vikings. Pete Bursich, my name is Chris Hockey. Purple Friday Final will return after this short break right here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Antoine.
Purple Friday Final, here we go. We can forget about the past 3 weeks and start focusing on another game away from the Dome and an opportunity to play a team not quite on the level of these first three teams. But once again, I want to tell you, Purple Friday Final with Pete Bursich and me, Chris Hockey, proudly presented by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Again, Pete Bursich on the road somewhere in Iowa. Let's talk a little bit real quick about Kansas City and what we got going into this week. Now, I know you spend a little time around Winter Park and around the players during the off week. My first question for you about this week leading into this game against Kansas City, how do you think the players feel? Do you think they are brokenhearted? Are they angry? Are they worried? What's the mindset down at Winter Park?
With anything, win or lose, you have to move on. Mondays are not fun because you have to kind of come in and relive what just happened. They can be fun if you win, but the last 3 weeks, Mondays have not been fun. I know that for that crew. Tuesday, you get to, you know, do your thing. It's a community kind of a day. And then, you know, when you get back to work on Wednesday, you have to let it go, win or lose. So, by the time you get to Friday, you're feeling good about the game plan and everything else. Really, on a week-to-week basis, mentally, you're going to be pretty much in the same place. What you can have, though, is guys feeling like they have to do too much, in a practice or going into a game, feeling like they have to play another guy's position or do this or do that. It's the quickest way of getting yourself in trouble. But, you know, from a mental standpoint, you know, the team is a veteran team. You know, these guys have been through a lot of these kind of things, and I think they're on a week-to-week basis, you have to be the same. So I expect them to show up in Kansas City, you know, with the same kind of mental attitude. Now, people are like, well, that mental attitude hasn't been working for 3 weeks. But you can't be up and down in this business. It's just too long of a haul. You have to be consistent.
You know, a lot of talk this week in the newspapers, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, a couple of different days, and Leslie Frazier and Donovan McNabb themselves spoke about it in their press conferences, discussing Donovan McNabb's mechanics. Have you seen from your quarterback in these first three games an issue that you would say, well, he's having problems with his mechanics?
Well, you know, again, I'm not a quarterback coach, nor do I profess to be a technician at that spot or that position. But yeah, there's been some accuracy issues. What that's due to, you know, that could be a number of different things. And one of the funny things is that every single day that every one of those guys goes to work, they work on their fundamentals and they work on their technique. You do it every single day that you're out there. I don't care if you're EJ Henderson and you've been there for a long time, or if you're a rookie in Christian Ponder. Every day you go to work, you work on your techniques. And so, you know, if you're talking about wholesale changes to mechanics, I mean, that's one thing. But every day those guys should be looking at how they're doing things, how their footwork is, and everything else. And you practice those. So I think Leslie kind of, you know, he spoke up and said, yeah, we're going to look at this or look at it more closely. And people kind of think about it and say, well, you know, isn't it too late or isn't he too far gone? And you know, yes and no. I mean, to make wholesale changes, it's going to be tough with an older player, but everybody looks at their mechanics and their fundamentals on a daily basis, really. And you work on them all the time. So it's not, It's nothing that's new, but maybe they're considering trying to change some things or do things a little differently.
Well, a lot of mechanics need to be worked on in Kansas City as well. They're just as defeated as we are. In fact, in some ways, a lot worse because they've been blown out a couple of times. Kansas City, a staff that I, as just a football fan, really respected, a quarterback that I thought was going to be good going in. Obviously, they've lost their big running back, but that wasn't an excuse at the beginning of the season. Tell me your just initial thoughts before we break down offense and defense about what's going on in Kansas City right now.
Well, Kansas City was built around a run game, and Jamaal Charles is gone. And so that's the issue that they're having right now. I mean, that's the main thing. That was the big change. And you can't forget about a guy like Dwayne Bowe. He's a heck of a good wide receiver. So they have some talent. I know the Detroit team just went pear-shaped in a hurry, just because they just couldn't keep up with Detroit and what Detroit was doing to them on the defense. And on the defensive side, Detroit matched up very well and took advantage of what Kansas City doesn't do well.
What does Kansas City do well?
Which side of the ball there, Hawk?
Yeah, let's go on them on offense first, because you talked about them being built to be a running team, and obviously they can't do that right now. So when we're on defense and they're on offense, what do they need to do?
It's pretty simple. I think that's a matchup that we could take advantage of. I really do. I mean, Dwayne Bowe is their one real big wide receiver threat, heck of an athlete, great player. His numbers have been down a little bit, but he's going to get his catches. He's not a Calvin Johnson, but he's a good player. So just limit him to catch and tackle and just be solid against the run. I mean, that's really it. Castle's been solid, but nothing spectacular. They have allowed a lot of pressure, and when you're not afraid of that run game, like they used to be with the running backs and with Jamaal Charles that they had, defenses are able to pin their ears back and tee off on them a little bit more.
Okay, so that's them. On defense, last week we saw the reemergence. We welcomed back Kevin Williams, especially obviously in the first half. We saw a whole lot of disruption in the middle, opening things up for the defensive ends, Jared Allen and Brian Robinson. Do you expect more of that from our guys this week?
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, Jared Allen and Brian Robinson did really a phenomenal job. I mean, you're looking at a team that didn't give up any sacks. The ball gets out so quickly. You don't have a lot of time to get back there. And you know, Gazi Sherless was benched. They had to bring Heitman in, I believe. And Jared Allen just pounded, you know, Backus like he was a running mule. I mean, those guys were so quick around the edges and so fast that even in that Detroit offense where they get rid of the ball so quickly, Stafford couldn't do it. And five sacks is pretty phenomenal. It's a lot of productivity out of two positions. So, yeah, you want to get into that same mode if you can. And, with these offensive tackles, their offensive tackles are better. They're more solid at the end. So it's not going to be as easy of a runabout, but you still need that kind of pressure out of those two.
Purple Friday Final again. That's Pete Bursich. My name is Chris Hockey. And with a Vikings Fan Vision controller in your hands, you can pull up instant replays, multiple camera angles, highlight reels, stats, and more anywhere at the stadium. Learn more about Fan Vision at fanvision.com/Vikings. Now, when the Vikes are on offense and Kansas City's on defense, is that a strength for them?
They're okay on defense. I think one of their corners in Flowers is just one of the worst tackling corners I've seen in quite some time. But he's a pretty athletic guy. They play that 3-4 front, so they're going to take a really close look at what San Diego did. And what San Diego did is they brought pressure off the edges to keep McNabb in the pocket. And that's the one thing that concerns me, is that a lot of McNabb's passing yardages and things that he's done well is when he's on the bootleg or rolling out or getting on the outside of the defense. And out of a 3-4, it's a heck of a lot easier to keep a quarterback in a pocket than it is out of a 4-3. And so I think Kansas City's going to do that. They're going to get aggressive. Tom Mahaly is a very, very good pass defender. They're going to try to get him one-on-one all day long. So I think that they're going to get aggressive this week. They're going to come after us. I think that their back end, as far as their safety positions, are not very athletic. So that might be a spot where we can take advantage of them. But, again, it's hard to exploit those safeties when you can't set up a pocket and stretch the field deep.
Mm. Yeah, Adrian Peterson needs a big week for sure.
Yeah, as he always does. He's such an important part of the offense, and week after week we've seen him get to that second level, but not really be able to break the big one that we need, and it's frustrating. But you just can't give up. You have to continue to do it. You have to continue to pound the ball, and it's going to be a little harder to get those gaps and to get those holes. It's going to be for the offensive linemen, this is going to be much more of a physical game because of the front that they run. Now we're just you kind of have to go beat a guy one-on-one physically, whereas against the 4-3 and the gap defenses, you can scheme it up and use angles and do those kind of things. So it's going to be a little bit more of a battle in the trenches, if you will, for the offensive linemen against this 3-4 front.
One more thing before we make our final picks and let Pete Bursich go here on Purple Friday Final on a Friday evening. Superstar Mike Morse talks a lot about Kansas City and a great atmosphere. Even at 0-3, do you think the Vikes are walking into a very rowdy stadium on Sunday?
I think it'll probably be close. I mean, I know that they take a lot of pride in that. It's one of the best road games that you're going to see. But this game's going to be a dogfight. Neither one of these teams is going to want to be 0-4. So they're going to give, if they have anything left in the tank, you're going to see it. And I think it's the same thing for us as well. And the only thing to keep in mind, too, is that there's no score. There's no way that you're going to score enough points on Kansas City to make you feel better about how the first half of the season is gone.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is you want to win. I don't care if it's 1 point or 50 points. You just have to go down there and do what you have to do to win.
Thank you to Chris Hockey and Pete Bursich. This has been Purple Friday Final on The Fan.